A week ago, I was at the Virginia Festival of the Book, where I attended a talk that featured two authors with works about interesting court cases, having myself written a book about an interesting court case where the court in question does not show up until the fifth chapter of seven. I know that creating context is most of the fun. That is probably why I am so fond of these two books, and nonfiction like them, where the parts advertised on the cover, those attention-grabbing catchwordy phrases like race riot, while not exactly incidental to the story, are more the idea of people trying to sell the book than the ones who wrote it. History books should meander a bit, be about more than what can be described in a subtitle, and inform us on things only tangentially related to the purported subject, the sorts of things we would never otherwise set out to learn. It's a bit like carving carrots into funny shapes so kids will eat them. Of course, I like carrots in the normal shape, so take my book recommendations with that in mind. The first is Snowstorm in August by Jefferson Morley, ostensibly the story of what is termed the Forgotten Race Riot of 1835. It is about a great deal more than that. It is about Beverly Snow, a man who had been born a slave in Virginia, gained his freedom, and settled in the nation's capital, precariously close to the Old Dominion. He opened a restaurant there, courting publicity, the city's Epicureans, and, of course, the eyes of folks uncomfortable seeing a black man prosper. But so, too, is the book about Francis Scott Key, remembered now, if at all, only as the author of The Star-Spangled Banner, but who was in 1835 not only district attorney, but a shrewd one. He was a man who, born into a slaveholding family, held both practical and theoretical notions about slavery, some of which were unreconciled and perhaps unreconcilable. The institution of slavery is itself a character in Morley's book, and a complicated one at that. Particularly in the young nation's capital, that geographically brackish area between slaveholding and free, more than four decades after the Constitution was written, and still three before Appomattox, there was a lot for people to wrestle over, and wrestle they did. There is a ton crowded into this short book, including cameo appearances by a host of people, like Roger Taney, later infamous for the Dred Scott decision, and subjects, like the city of Washington and the American justice system. There is a lot, too, in Rising Road by Sharon Davies, a law professor at Ohio State. Also ostensibly concerning race relations in the law, this book is about much more, and not a story you will have heard. Situated in Birmingham, Alabama, a name redolent of Jim Crow and the Klan, this story takes place earlier than the well-known civil rights struggles of the mid-century. In the aftermath of World War I, with bigotry aimed at immigrants, the specter of immigrants, and Roman Catholics. There is a murder of a priest by a Methodist minister, an act of violence as much about personal animus as anti-papism, though there is also plenty of that. And, like Morley's book, plenty of much else besides, including the appearance of a future Supreme Court justice in something less than his finest hour. There is more to these books than their stories, a lot more, which is why books of this sort cannot be translated into another medium. You just have to read them. The best I can say is if you read one or both of these books, you'll find out a little about the law, how it has changed and how it hasn't, and a lot about America, how it has changed and how it hasn't. I'm Travis McDade.